Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
Good morning. My name is Adam Jasse. I'm deputy editor of Visegrad Insight. And today our podcast is a really special occasion because we will discuss the results of a major survey on attitudes to democracy in some Central and Eastern European countries, conducted by a group of scholars from the region led by the Slovak Academy of Science. So warm welcome today to Dr. Jakub Schroll, a scholar at the Institute of Experimental Psychology at the Slovak Academy of Sciences, who was a leading researcher in the project. Jakub, welcome.
Thank you for having me, and a good morning.
Good morning to our listeners again. And before we delve into the most interesting findings, which are very interesting, can you very briefly describe the survey and what it aimed to achieve?
Sure. The survey was part of a project funded by Visegrad Fund, and the project's name was Political Culture, Democratic Values and Misinformation, Detecting Democratic Footholds and Weaknesses. And this, of course, tells us a lot about the project. So we were basically inspired by some recent trends that we can see in the region of Visegrad Four countries, such as the erosion of democracy, increase in populistic politics, and the spread of disinformation. And of course, we can see this to some extent all around the world, but it seems as if the Visegrad region is a bit more susceptible to these trends in comparison with other European countries. So we really wanted to identify diverse socio-psychological and political profiles within the populations of these countries and assess their prevalence. And we also were lucky enough to secure funding by Klaus Bonke, who funded the data collection for Germany. So we had a country with which we could compare the results of the Visegrad countries.
So, like in a proper scientific experiment, you had your control.
Well, not quite so, but yes, we were really interested in comparing the results to Germany because, you know, the Visegrad Four countries, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Poland, and Hungary, they share their common past. They spent decades under the totalitarian communist rule. And we can also see this to a certain extent, the remnants of this in the economic and democratic indicators when we look at these countries. And we also wanted to look at a country which is kind of up ahead in democratic and economic indicators, with which we can compare the results.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, one thing that sort of obviously interests me when I was looking through the results is that initially it seemed to me that the picture emerging from the survey was gloomy about the state of democracy. But then, you know, we had elections in Slovakia and in Poland, two of the four Visegrad countries measured in the study. And what we saw was actually a festival of democracy, if you will, because turnout was record high. And okay, the outcomes are slightly different in Slovakia and in Poland, but this high voter participation seems to suggest that overall, people in the region remain attached to democracy and believe democracy is a way of changing government if they don't like it.
Sure. I mean, one of the most consistent results in all of the five countries that we surveyed in our project was that people in all of the countries said it's very important for them to live in a country that is governed democratically. So we can see it right there. I mean, the rating of this, the statement was quite striking. Really, people say it's very important to live in a democratic country for them. So I think this is what we can see in the high voter turnouts in Poland and Slovakia in the recent past.
For you personally, what was the most intriguing finding?
Well, I mean, one of the trends that we could see very, very obviously from the results, but it was not very surprising, was that when you look at the differences in various indicators in the V4 countries, I mean, there are certain differences in, let's say, the satisfaction with political system, in evaluation of the democratic governance in the countries. But all of these differences between Slovakia, Czech Republic, Poland and Hungary, they kind of pale in comparison with the responses from Germany. So in most of the regards, really Germany is very much ahead in these indicators. But I should also say that it was very important to see that there are also some similarities. As I already mentioned, the question about the importance of living in a country that is being governed democratically, this is something where people from all the countries responded very similarly. Also, when we asked people about what is the biggest problem that their country is facing, or what is the biggest problem that they are concerned about, in all of the five countries, as the biggest problem was rated poverty and social inequality. So there were some striking differences as well as some important similarities among the countries.
Right. What for me was interesting was that, you know, so many people in Slovakia, 71% believed in a statement that politics in their country is immoral farce that defies common sense. You know, as if to confirm this finding, we saw some very strange things happening during the Slovak election campaign. Can you explain that a little bit? Is this the superficiality of politics in these countries, immaturity, lack of conviction? What is it?
Well, it's kind of hard to say, but yes, this was one of the things that was very notable from the results of the popular booklet, is that actually in all Visegrad 4 countries, the agreement with the statement politics in our country is a moral farce that defies common sense was very high. It was between 60 and 70%. It's a statement which really reflects kind of distrust and disgust with the politics to such an extent that this was striking that the agreement was so high. But we can see this also from other responses. In a relatively low satisfaction with how the political system is functioning in V4 countries, and also in lower evaluation of democratic governance and distrust in government and political parties. So I think this is what actually the agreement with that statement reflects, this distrust to government and politicians.
What I found also quite surprising in the survey was that there was a question about the importance of freedom, personal freedoms, in some of the more detailed questions. And you know, I found it striking because defying the stereotype of Poles as being the sort of greatly valuing personal freedoms, the survey actually showed that a majority of Poles said they would be prepared to trade some of their rights and freedoms for financial gain. So 20% said they would definitely do that, with another 34% inclined in this direction. And this was the highest reading in the entire region. Any explanation for that?
Yeah, well, it was quite striking to see that. And among Poles, we could also see that they were more willing to trade their democratic rights and freedoms for greater security in their country, for example. So this was something notable, but I should also say that this is something that we already kind of knew from other surveys, such as the Globsec survey. I think that these numbers sound very striking, but maybe they need to be taken with a little bit of caution. I'm relatively sure that if we ask people whether, like, right on the spot, if they would be willing to trade some of their rights for some specific sum of money, when it actually came to that, they probably would be less willing to do this. So this seems to me to be kind of the reflection of a feeling that my financial situation is very, very bad. And yes, maybe it's so bad that I would be willing to trade better financial situation for some of the freedom. But I think this is more like an abstract thought than the specific thing that people would actually do when it came to that.
I think it's a very plausible explanation, especially given that in the end in Poland, it seems that the record turnout in the election, 74%, and the victory of the democratic parties that actually focused a lot on personal freedoms and the quality of democracy, they seem to have won. Maybe you're right. Maybe it's the first reaction, but deep down people are in Poland remain attached to some key values such as personal freedoms or democracy for that matter. And that would be an encouraging finding. It's also interesting that the survey showed that you mentioned that already, that poverty and inequality, as well as inflation, were prominently featuring as areas of concern. Interestingly, the reading was highest for Slovakia. How do you explain that?
The fact that the poverty and social inequality was the first biggest problem is really not surprising, because we can see this consistently in European countries in surveys such as World Value Survey or European Social Survey, Eurobarometers and such. But yes, we could see that in Slovakia this was rated much higher than in other countries. Actually, 42% of people chose this as the first problem or the biggest problem that they perceive. I think this really has to do with the time when the survey was conducted. It was conducted in November and December of 2022. So, you know, the inflation was high. There was a lot of talk about inflation, about the increase in energy prices and so on. And I think people felt that this is something that, you know, threatens their existence, that they are going to be worse off when they maybe thought that they are already quite badly off because, you know, of the COVID-19 pandemic and the problems around that. So I think this is what the responses reflect in that regard.
And another interesting area, which actually shows some connection between the findings of the survey and what happened in Slovakia during the elections. It seems that, you know, in Western media, there was a lot of attention paid to what the victor of the election, Mr. Fico, was saying about Ukraine, about Russia. These were the things that were catching headlines. But in fact, a lot of his narratives in the election campaign focused on poverty, on economic issues. So in a sense, his success in the election combined several strands that appear in the surveys when it comes to Slovakia. So first is economic concerns at 42%, as you said, a priority. But also it showed that many Slovaks have slightly more ambivalent attitude to, let's say, the Western set of values relative to, let's say, Central European or Eastern values, and finally also attitudes to, let's say, sexual minorities, where we see in Slovakia the highest level of skepticism or lack of tolerance towards minorities, and it seems that Mr. Fico was very good at identifying these tendencies. Or was it the other way around? Are they so high because he is paying so much attention to it?
Yes, exactly. I think you really, really touched the problem here, that we can't say whether this is the cause or the consequence of, you know, the political discourse, because Mr. Fico, as a former prime minister and now again a prime minister, of course, catches a lot of media attention. And both him and but other politicians and other parties really play with these anti-West and also anti-migrants narratives and kind of use them as an antagonistic group that is, trying to threaten Slovakia in some way, and we need to kind of defend against them. So they are playing on this basic populist narrative of identifying a common enemy. So this got reflected in the results of our survey. I mean, quite strikingly, when we ask people whether they personally think that there are any groups or countries that threaten their identity or values, this is what we call in psychology symbolic threat. So not actually some threat to our security, but threat to the identity or values. People in Slovakia said that USA threatens them more than, for example, Russia, which is very striking when we consider the proximity of Slovakia to Ukraine and the Russia's war in Ukraine.
So do you take it as an example of Mr. Fico's and other populist politicians being successful as portraying the United States as a threat, or is it more deeply embedded in the cultural context in Slovakia?
I think both of those explanations are partially true. I mean, there are anti-West sentiments in Slovakia that we could track, you know, back in history quite a long time. Definitely, at least to the communist regime, where, you know, anti-West conspiracy theories were, you know, part of the government propaganda. So I definitely think that this is to some part embedded in the culture or in the society. But I also think this is strengthened by the political narratives of some of the political parties in Slovakia.
Okay. Well, finally, I would like to touch on the subject of generational differences. The survey didn't perhaps go deep into differences between different age groups. But in the electoral results in both countries, we could see huge mobilization of young people, and also voters abroad who tend to be young professionals. And in both countries, in Slovakia and in Poland, the vote of the younger generation went massively towards, let's say, progressive, more European, Western-oriented, more rights-oriented parties. Is this trend sustainable, or was it a one-off, and now they will all be disillusioned and abstain from voting in let's say European elections next year?
Well, yes, of course, I can't predict the future, but we'll see. Maybe the trends in this regard are going to be vastly different in Poland and in Slovakia, where younger voters voted, for example, much more for parties such as Progressive Slovakia, which actually secured the second spot in the election, but is not in the government coalition right now. So maybe younger voters are going to be disillusioned, but I think this touches a very deep topic on the divide between the older and younger voters when it comes to such profound things as where they get their information from, for example. You know, for younger voters, it's increasingly more common to look for information about the politics and about the world on social media, and not even Facebook, which is already, you know, familiar to older people as well. Actually, younger people are turning away from Facebook and toward, you know, Instagram and TikTok. And the information they get there is quite different from the information that the maybe older voters get in the TV. So I think this reflects this divide to some extent. And it's going to be up to politicians and to different political parties to kind of work with these younger and older voters to in different ways to gain their attention.
And reconcile their sometimes differing worldviews.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So finally, are you going to repeat this exercise in a few years' time to see if the trends you discovered are sustained, or whether this is it?
Well, there is no immediate plan, but I sure would like to do this. If we could secure the funding for this, I think this could be really, really interesting, because I think we learned a lot from this project. So the survey gave us a lot of insight about what are the strengths of the political system in every country, such as importance of living in the country that is being governed democratically, but maybe even more about what are the weaknesses in all of the countries, such as, you know, the satisfaction with the political system or susceptibility to misinformation. And these information about the strengths and weaknesses can give us some important insights about how to tailor, for example, policies and how to kind of approach people in these countries.
Jakub, thank you very much. This was very insightful.
Thank you, Adam.
And congratulations on completing this survey.
Thank you. That's very kind.
Thank you all for listening. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.